Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to VisionWorks. My name is Claire Lyons Devon, and I am the host for tonight's show. VisionWorks is an opportunity for people to share how they're living and implementing their vision in the community and around the world. It airs every third Sunday on the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. For those of you who are new to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, we broadcast every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also on the second and fourth Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to take a moment to, if you're unfamiliar with who we are, the Black Summit is basically a gathering of people of Black African descent. We're from diverse backgrounds, different countries, different lifestyles, opinions, and views, and we come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration, and we explore questions and issues which empower participants to realize their vision for the Black community and the world. You're invited to join us this year as we gather in London, England, which is the first weekend in August, July 30th through August the 2nd. It's not too late to register. If you'd like to register for our annual event, go to the website, which is www.blacksummit.org. Again, that's www.blacksummit.org. Participants from around the world have found this to be an empowering event, one that fosters personal breakthroughs, energizing relationships, and community transformation. It's a really exciting and dynamic event. So if you have an opportunity to go this year, book that plane ticket, hop on the plane, and be in London. I'd also like to take a moment to share with you the Declaration of the International Black Summit. It is as follows. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And this declaration statement was created at the first formal summit event, which was held in Atlanta, Georgia, 1991. And it continues to presence itself today in this moment, in me, in our guests, and all over the world. VisionWorks, the show VisionWorks, came to me as an idea to really allow for the public expression of the many contributions at work that reflect the manifestation of this declaration. It's like VisionWorks is really an opportunity to reflect the declaration at work in our everyday lives. So welcome to VisionWorks, and I'd like to thank everyone who's listening live tonight and folks in the chat room. If you'd like to share a comment or if you have questions, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. You can also access the show via the web at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. And tonight I have a very, very special guest. I met this young woman at a networking event. And it was a special networking event because it was a spiritual networking event. And we hit it off and have kind of been in conversation. She has attended the summit share that was held here in New Jersey. And in our conversations, we always have an opportunity to talk about some, you know, the distinctions, the tools, and different parts of the declaration. And in a conversation that we were having this past week, she said something that made me really reflect on one aspect of the declaration, and that was altering the conversation of who we are in the media. So I'd just like to stop there and take a moment to introduce Ms. Erica Faluki. Erica, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well this evening, and thank you for inviting me on your show, Clarence.
Yes, thank you so much. And if you are listening into the call, if you could mute your phone, you can do that by hitting *6 for people who are listening. *6, and that'll take away background noise that I'm hearing.
Hold on.
And then, oh, okay. Erica?
I hear *6.
Okay. Okay, no, that's okay. I think it was another caller who I was getting the feedback from. But I'm really excited that you're on tonight's show, and I always, always enjoy our conversations that we have. And something that you said this week really had me reflect on one aspect of the declaration differently, and that was altering the conversation of who we are in the media. And I don't know if you remember that conversation. Do you recall the conversation that I'm speaking of?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Well, one of the things that occurred to me, like in the past when I've heard altering the conversation of who we are in the media, I thought of the media as the newspaper, the television, the the radio, this
yes.
talk show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the media. And
yes.
in our conversation, one of the things that I got out of it was that the media extends, it's not out there, and it's really funny because in the summit we have a distinction called No Out There, but the media is actually with me. Like, I'm the media, and you're the media, you know, and how we live our lives is an aspect of being media.
Yes. I do recall the conversation. I was thinking about, like, as you said, the newspaper, the internet, you know, television, the venues of how the media is able to bring the information to the masses, you know, and looking at ourselves as media or the venue, how we're projecting ourselves to our inner circles, you know, the outer circles, and just kind of like really looking at that. And I was thinking about like how a lot of times in the news people and try to twist something. They'll take the slightest little thing and they'll twist it, you know, and the slightest little truth. Or they can be projecting what is true. And it made me look at, well, what is it that I'm projecting? You know, and also I'm thinking how our media can also be our family, friends, what they say about what they perceive their understanding to be of us, you know, and taking on a more proactive role in what it is that I want to project, evaluating what it is that I'm projecting.
Right. So when you say what it is that you're projecting, so seeing yourself as the media, you know,
yes.
what conversation are you creating for the world, and how do you, you know, kind of how do you represent yourself?
Exactly, and taking responsibility for that. And I think as we get present that and taking responsibility of what we're projecting, what our media is, then we are all interconnected, and by one will make things a little bit better. If we live life purposefully and really look at what we're about, basically, what are the principles, the standards, the things that you live by, that you believe? Are you really living that and portraying that, projecting? Are the people in your lives, are they picking that up?
Right.
And seeing the way we want to be seen.
Right. I'm having a little difficulty hearing you. There's some static in the background. Do you have the phone on speaker?
No, I don't. I thought about the same thing. I do have some static, and I don't know where it's coming from.
Okay. But you bring up some really good points. One point is that, one, how we project ourselves and how we live our lives, we create a media about ourselves. Basically, our expression of our life is our telecast to the world, so to speak.
Right.
And then the other aspect of that, or the other, kind of the other side of that that you bring up, is there's an opportunity, to shift the conversation that we hear going on in the media. We're constantly talking about, in the declaration, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, and we are at the same time accepting everything that the media is giving us. Like, we feed on what we hear on the television, what we hear on the radio, what we hear in music, what we hear, or what we see in newsprint. And there's an opportunity to, one, just kind of recognize that music is a media for carrying a message. What we speak day to day is a media for carrying message. How we live our lives every day is a media for carrying message. And the third point that you brought up, which is to recognize our power, and to recognize our power in shifting conversations through our own personal media, through how we're speaking, that we really have the power to shift what's going on in the world by our conversation. And I wanted to ask you too, if you were to look at what your personal media is, because this is something that I got out of our conversation, it's not the norm. What is your gift? What is the media that you, Erica, are using to kind of put a different conversation out there in the world about, who we are as a people?
What the media that I would like to shift, or the media that I currently feel as though that I'm portraying?
The media that you're currently portraying.
Okay. I was saying the media that I'm currently portraying or project is one of commitment and loyalty and acceptance of where that person is, with them where they are. Saying, I'm here for you. I would say that's pretty much what I feel like I'm projecting.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, I would like to shift that just a little bit and portray something just a little, not differently, but use better wisdom and judgment where I don't get lost in that. I think sometimes we can become, or I become, overly involved, where it begins, that person's stuff begins to affect your own life, But don't want to go off on a tangent on that. But yes, that would be the current meaning of loyalty and acceptance. Someone one can count on.
And how, I guess the flip side of that is, how is, you being that way altering the conversation of who we are in the media?
Altering the conversations. I think, one, when I was listening to you talking, and you said something, it's what we hear, whether it's video, the music we listen to, and look at the news, and, things that are going sort of in our ear gates, And there's an internal dialogue, an internal tape that's going on in our head, and getting conscious to that tape, you know, what the information that we're feeding ourselves, is it accurate, you know, because that determines, I think, a lot of times what we're going to project, what our media is going to be based on that internal dialogue. And sometimes, a lot of times, I like to say, you know, I need to change the tape, you know, because this one's not working for me.
Right. Change the tape. That's really excellent. I just want to say you're listening to VisionWorks, which is one of several programs on the International Black Summit Network, and we air live every Sunday evening here at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the second and fourth Tuesday. Tonight we're talking about altering the conversation of who we are in the media, which is one of the lines out of the Declaration of the International Black Summit, one of the tenets, if you were, about it. And if you'd like to call in with comments or questions, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. The call-in number is, again, 646-716-9827. Or you can listen via the web, which is www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. We have a couple of callers. If you'd like to make a comment, or if you have a question, you can press 1 on your phone, and that will let the switchboard know that you'd like to say something. And then when you're complete, you can press 1 again, and that will put your hand down. So, Erica, you said something really, really powerful, and that is that we run a tape. we consistently run this tape. Our mind is this tape that's on autopilot, as it were, and we're a lot of times not aware that that conversation or that tape is directing how we're being, you know, what our life is about. Or we're not aware that, you know, all of the information that we're ingesting is defining how we react to things, you know.
Yeah.
And so one of the things before, I was like, okay, when I heard altering the conversation of who we are in the media, I thought, okay, I've got to go out and, you know, write in rebuttals to the newspaper. I have to, you know, do this talk show, or I have to, you know, put in different contributions. And if I were to look to see, you know, what my media is, I would say it would be, you know, the written word. That's an area that I am strong in. And, you know, that would be the way I would impact. But I really got a sense that in there being a no out there, which is kind of one of the tools we use in the summit, being that, you know, how I see the world is really based on what I think, you know, really on what I think, then as I start shifting, you know, the things that are coming into my listening, that are coming into my vision, you know, then I can impact other people. And I, you know, interacting with you, and, you know, we interact with other people, there's this constant opportunity there to share the overall conversation. And I'm really, I think about this whole thing going on with Michael Jackson, and I'm really sad that he's gone. And a lot of the conversation that got generated was really hypothetical, and what I call the conversations. And what I got present to is, how often do I act or move forward in life on a what if? You know, not a whole scenario of, if that, you know, thing were true, if, you know, the mother of the children wanted the children back, then these are all these possibilities, when in fact the woman hasn't even requested the children. But, you know, the amount of energy and time and airtime that was dedicated or is being dedicated to a what if.
Right.
And I had to look at myself and say, how often do I do that? How often do I take the what if and just keep moving forward in it like it's true?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to our own what ifs. In our own personal lives. that we say to ourselves.
Right, right. And that has this impact on, you know, altering the conversation of who we are. The other thing, there's this whole idea of, you know, what conversations do we hear in the media? You know, and the conversation that I hear that I don't care for is, you know, there are a lot of different stereotypes that keep getting portrayed about people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for me to shift that, you know, I present myself in a particular way, and, you know, I correct other people who tend to make generalizations or broad statements
mm-hmm.
about, you know, all people without really, you know, they're, if you're speaking about a specific person, then speak about that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not speak about them in terms of you know, the stereotypes that exist in the world. And so in order for that to be real, you know, I think that individually, if each of us kept shifting that on an individual basis, then it would actually get shifted in the world. I mean, can you speak that a little bit?
Well, I have a question for you, Claire. Do you think that sometimes the stereotypes that are made possibly might be true?
Well, personally, from my perspective, I don't believe in stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that people are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that there's this young brother who was on Def Comedy Jam, and there was a piece that he did that was so powerful, and I actually wanted to play it on tonight's show, but it has a little bit too much profanity in it, unfortunately. So it didn't work in that respect. But one of the underlying messages in the piece is how we buy into the stereotypes. Like, that's what the media's job is. The media's job is to create an, he called it like a mass illusion, this mass illusion, and for large numbers of people to interact with that illusion as if it were true.
Right.
As a result of that, people live their lives in a particular way. But I think that there's an opportunity for people to see a lot of different things. I don't think any all of one thing at any given point in time. You know what I'm saying? So I don't believe stereotype.
Right. Yeah. Right. I do hear what you're saying. I think what you just said, I think sometimes you said something in reference to people constantly hearing these stereotypes. And then I think for some people, they begin to digest it, and then it becomes true. Because
mm-hmm.
they begin to believe it about themselves, about their own group that they are a part of. I mean, I can hear... I recall hearing different jokes, stereotypes. Again, going back to how, kind of speaking, looking at stereotypes, how African American or any group portray themselves and say, you know, that's typical of that particular group of people. And we all know on an individual basis that's not necessarily true, but then sometimes it seems like some people just begin to buy into and act that way, and then we begin to have like an amen corner to it. Yes, I'm a witness to that. I've seen that before. You have words just like that, or, you know, just typical things. And when we digest it and give a stamp of approval on it, I think then that's what brings life to it.
Mm-hmm. So are there places in your life where you find your living into a particular stereotype?
I would have to give that some more thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have to kind of like give that thought, because I guess for me, I've always been told I've been outside of the stereotype of being, you know, an African American woman. Thinks examining the word, you know, more closely, stereotypes, or is it just a social culture behaviors that we've taken on as a result of slavery, post Jim Crow, you know, things of that nature, and it's not necessarily a stereotype, but it's a position that we find ourselves in because of our history we believe about ourselves and each other.
So I guess I want to approach this from a different way. How would you then, you know, alter that conversation? So what I hear you saying is that because of, you know, the stereotypes that have been painted and people living into those stereotypes, sometimes there's an opportunity to live a particular way or to act a particular way or to do a particular thing. So how would you personally alter that? How do you alter that conversation?
I think for me, alter the conversation personally from myself only. Is kind of ask, who am I hanging around? You know, what is it that I'm listening to? What energies am I putting myself in? What am I looking at on television? Am I on the radio? I begin to shift that, you know, sort of dialogue that I'm having, you know, within myself. What is my mantra to myself? Get present to some of the things that are going on for me to, I guess, to shift, you know, personally. Again, and just, and also take pausing and looking at what is it that I'm projecting, you know, what is it that my media is saying? Is it saying what I want it to say, or is it just saying what, or is it projecting where I am currently, but it doesn't mean that that's who I truly am, you know? I think we're all evolving, and I forget who said it, you know, like, that life's a stage, you know?
Life is what?
Life is a stage, and we're all actors in it, you know? Scene one, take two, you know, okay. I'm like, do I know my lines, you know, is this where I'm supposed to enter, exit, you know, and then we have the behind the stage life, you know, so this, for me, you know, don't project everything, all aspects of oneself in public, because you need a behind the stage where you can, you might reveal certain parts of yourself with some that you don't do with others.
That's interesting. I like that analogy of the life's a stage, and, you know, you're on, you're off, and you have a backstage and a dressing room, you know, where you can, you know, be different aspects of yourself. So if you have the opportunity to, you know, create the world or change a conversation, which conversation would you change, and what would you change it to?
I think the conversation I would change for myself is, say this,
say again.
I'm thinking, still wanting to be perceived as a nice person, but I think what I'm working on now is not projecting that I'm one where to be taken advantage of, you know, to kind of like give off that energy, you know, that of wisdom, you know, you know, to be nice but not one to sort of cross, you know. not fault in a sense of, okay, anger and, you know, physical or anything like that, but just sort of, I guess, I don't know, maybe a different kind of respect. Not like, oh, she's so nice and sweet, but, you know, she's nice, but more of a powerful presence about that nice, about the niceness, not to be taken for a fool, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
So the conversation that you're holding is that because you're nice, people tend to take it, you know, take advantage of you, which puts you like in victim mode, and what you would create is a person who is empowered to make decisions that let people know what your boundaries are.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what it is. It's really getting clear on I'm clear on my boundaries, but I don't think that I convey that clearly to the other person that there are boundaries. And then they get clear once they cross the boundary. And I'm needing to tell you, you have crossed my boundary.
Do they get clear or do you get clear?
No, it's like I think now as I've gotten older, I'm clear. And I'm getting more clear, you know, about it. And I think now I'm at the point of how do I project that? You know, do you just come out and say it? You know, I don't like this, and this. Do this. Here's the line. You know what I mean? Or I'm just that part. I'm just not really sure. But sometimes we can come into a knowledge of something. You know, like how can I say? Like, oh, I know how to. That door. I can see that door is broke, and I can see. Therefore, it needs to be fixed. That's my acknowledgement, but I don't have the tools to fix it, nor the knowledge of how to fix the door, but I can clearly see that it needs to be fixed. So I need to kind of, you know, get the knowledge, then get the tools so that I can then fix it. So I'm at the point of I acknowledge it, that I do not feel as though I let my injuries are clear.
Gotcha.
And maybe
I appreciate you sharing that. I appreciate you sharing that. And I, you know, would like to, you know, bump it up to a broader thing, because what you shared made me think about our president, who I think did a fabulous job establishing boundaries and establishing a new conversation for people. Like, you know, you get that the stereotypes were out there about a lot of different things, and he walked to his own beat, played his own game, he set his own boundaries, and, you know, America is shifting as a result of who he's being and how he's being. And he's not having a verbal conversation about it, but he's actually being a particular way. So what, you know, you're experiencing on an individual level, he's experiencing on an individual level, and he's an example of how one person's actions can change a lot of people's actions. You know,
yes.
Can change a lot of people's conversation. A lot of people's conversation. I want to say we're live here on VisionWorks, which is one of several programs of the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are here every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 on the second and fourth Tuesday. Tonight we're talking about altering the conversation of who we are in the media, and if you'd like to call in with a comment or a question, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. We have a caller at 310. You have a question or a comment?
talking to me.
Denise, you're at 310714?
No.
Okay, well, Denise, do you have a question or a comment or something you'd like?
Yes, I wanted to comment on, actually I wanted to ask you, you made a statement about not believing in stereotypes. I wanted to know, were you saying that you don't believe there are stereotypes or you don't buy into stereotypes?
I don't buy into stereotypes.
Oh, okay.
I do believe that they exist, and I believe that there are people for whom they are very real. You know, just as Erica was sharing, there are people for whom they are very real, and they live their life inside them. But I don't buy into them personally.
Okay, got it. Well, I guess the comment I wanted to make was I think, first of all, stereotypes are extremely powerful, and
mm-hmm.
I think another dimension of stereotypes is not whether or not one buys into them, but
mm-hmm.
that, in fact, one lives inside of stereotypes that others hold of you, whether you are aware of it or not,
mm-hmm.
that's number one. And then number two, that we are, that we live in a world in which our exterior or an external environment is shaped by stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you are a black male or a black female or a white male or white, you know, all the various distinctions, you know, the external characteristics that differentiate people, then
mm-hmm.
the world responds very differently. And right before I came on, I just happened to be saw a reference to a study done where people of different names, they were testing housing discrimination, and they used three different names, and the response rate, this is all on email, so they never saw the person. But the
right.
response rate in terms of whether or not there was a vacancy varied with the name. And it was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
So if you were Tom McDougal, you got a 90% response rate. If you were, you know, a Malik something, you got a 60% response rate. And if you were Willie Jones, you got a 50% response rate.
Gotcha.
And this was in L.A. I mean, it was just when I saw that, I just couldn't even believe it.
Right.
So that's what I mean when I say the external world.
Right. So in terms of, you know, who you personally are being, if you were to select a conversation to shift that, you know, or a stereotype to shift that, you know, we're experiencing, what would that, which one would that be, and what would you create in its place?
Well, first of all, the stereotype that I'm not the, because there are many that fall under these, you know, people of color, particularly people of black African descent. And for me, the way of being is, first of all, to be cognizant of that. That's number one. And number two, to identify stereotypes as stereotypes, regardless of the source, so
mm-hmm.
that if black folks say, well, black folks don't do that, that's a stereotype. We're stereotyping and limiting what's available, what's possible for black folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the same way that if white people say, well, oh, you're so articulate, the subject being for a black person, you know, identifying that, that's a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, calling it out, identifying it, and being cognizant of that, and tuning in and listening for that, and then challenging that. So that's my take on it.
And there was something else that you said that was interesting.
Oh, well, I can give. Oh, here's another example. And just supporting people and having conversations about it. My an example is my niece is 20 years old. She's a college student, and. She was talking to her pre-med advisor,
mm-hmm.
and in the she's going into her senior year. But anyway, she related that in the conversation, her pre-med advisor looked at her statement and said, "Oh, you would be a good social worker."
Mm-hmm.
I'm applying to medical school,
mm-hmm.
not social work school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from my perspective, and this is what I shared with her, because when she heard that, she's like, oh, yeah, maybe I should go be a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my perspective was that that was a stereotype, because when I said, because what I said was, because a woman of color, a black woman, expresses compassion, love, and caring for people, doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean she's interested in being a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And my assumption was that was a stereotype.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And the flip side of that is the media that your niece would be as a doctor is a black female doctor, which makes a statement.
Wait, say that again?
The media, because the other side that we're looking at tonight is, you know, what media are we being? The media that your niece would represent is that of a black female doctor.
Okay.
Her being a black female doctor creates an image. It creates an energy out there that people can see that
uh-huh.
a black female doctor is not an anomaly.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's not a black female doctor who is compassionate and caring and loving.
Exactly.
Is a black female doctor who's comparing compassionate and loving.
Exactly. There we go. There we go. Yeah. And that's just it. That's just it. Calling things in the what so.
Right.
You know, instead of the generalization of an individual or a group of individuals based on past conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing about altering the conversation of who we are stems from, and both you and Erica have said it, you know, really identifying those areas where, you know, we identify in a particular way. And it's usually based from our past. You know, we identify from past experiences, and up until having a black president of the United States of America, we didn't have the experience of a black president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So the conversation has been altered. It's been shifted. People still may not believe it, you know, and they want to make him all things that he,
mm-hmm.
other than what he is,
mm-hmm.
you know. But now there's a there's something. He's a media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Barack Obama is a media now that speaks.
Mm-hmm.
His being, his presence speaks. The sister who is being confirmed as the next Supreme Court justice
mm-hmm.
is speaking, you know.
Right.
And basically who we be in the world speaks and allows us to shift conversations, you know, shift conversations. And as more people.
Yeah, well, Sonia Sotomayor is definitely shifting some conversations.
Exactly, exactly. Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that share.
You're welcome.
Yeah, again, you're listening to Vision Works, which is on the International Black Summit Network, and we air here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the second and fourth Tuesday, Henrietta, are you in the switchboard? Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay, great. Henrietta is one of our hosts who hosts the. Yeah, first Sunday show. Could you share a little bit about your show?
Oh, yes, I would love to. The name of the show is On Track, and once a month we kind of check in with ourselves to see if our the goals and the resolutions that we created for ourselves at the beginning of the year, if we're still working on them. And if we've kind of gotten off track, we talk about why and kind of discuss ways to get back on track. And so we check in at the beginning of every month. And, you know, we feature different people. Like last time we had someone who was on track with their health and on track in relationships and on track with finances. So we, you know, we cover a lot of topics as well.
Awesome. And I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
We're talking about altering the conversation of who we are in the media. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really got present to this week is seeing myself as the media.
Oh, God.
Yes.
And I've had to alter my conversation, believe me. I have had to alter my conversation because this was an interesting week. And I really do get that I am the media for my life, and it is what I say about it, about my life, you know, that, and I have to alter it. I've had to alter it many times, you know, this week, but it's good that I catch it, you know, and am able to identify that it needs to be altered.
That's a really, really good point, because as we get deeper and deeper into this conversation, so we're looking at a different cut. If we alter the conversation in the media of ourselves, you know, altering the conversation within ourselves, you know, and how that would shift our lives. So I turned on the radio, and I heard this minister saying, married people need to know their roles, and wives need to know how to be wives, and husbands need to know how to be husbands. And I thought, oh, what conversation am I having in that area that popped into my space, right? Because Spirit gives you all this direction, and things show up as, you know, you're going through whatever you're going through. And I had to look and alter my conversation about, you know, that area. Of that area of my life, and you know what shifts I could have just by, you know, looking at some simple things differently.
It's always right there. That's what's so great, you know, is that it's always there for you to shift, you know.
Yes. Specifically, which conversation would you alter in your media?
Mine was about. It was about anxious. I was anxious, you know, about something that I had to do today, and I wanted it done a particular way, and you know, the way I always, you know, I thought it should be done. I kind of wanted to follow the rules of the road with it. And it wasn't for me to do it that way. And finally, I had to realize it doesn't have to be that way, and it can still be good, you know. And it just doesn't have to always be the same way over and over and over again. There's, you know, there's more to life than just that one way. And so I shifted, and but it took, you know, two computers to break down. It took, you know, all of that for me to get that, you know, it wasn't something that was on paper. It wasn't something, or that whatever was on paper, it had come from me anyway. So whether I had the computer or not, all I had to do was pull it out again, because it came from within me in the first place.
Right.
It was really great. It was really, really great. But when I shifted, I had to see myself being able to bring it forth again, because I kept looking at it like, oh, my God, you're not going to have this, you're not going to have that. And then I just had to say, stop. Just stop. What was on that paper came from you. You know, pull it out again. And so that's what I did. But, you know, but I took myself through it before, you know, I just didn't shift it, and it occurred. I took myself through some stuff.
Right. There's a there's this distinction in the center we call clearing.
And
sometimes we have to do that. We have to clear away old conversations. We have to clear away old habits. We have to clear away different ways of being. To really get present in the moment and see what's possible by transitioning you know, are transforming into something else.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. And one of the things that I got present to was professionalism, mm-hmm. and what being a professional means, you know. Mm-hmm. And as a professional, you recreate whatever you need to recreate. You don't have to do things the way you did them in school. That's a part of being a professional. The ways you learn to do things while you were studying are not the ways that they have to be done when you become a professional. And that was all in my face. You know, when I talk about doing things by the book. And so I kind of stepped into being a professional.
Okay. So you had a conversation before that. I'm missing something. Being a professional, or being a professional, your conversation now is being a professional means you can shift and change things and work for your
mm-hmm.
highest good.
Right. Whereas before I was thinking that because I did not have the script that I had written,
mm-hmm.
that it was something wrong with that, you know. And how can you do it if you don't have what you've written? And how can and all of that, and that, like I was holding it as wrong, you know.
Gotcha.
And I much rather speak without a script anyway, because I normally, if I have one, I normally memorize it. So
mm-hmm.
I'll study it to the point that I memorize it. And so I had to just shift and accept myself as a professional.
Right. Right, and as part of that clearing process too, the other key thing that I heard you, Denise, and Erica say is stopping. There comes a point where you know you clear it, you discuss it, you think about it. You have
mm-hmm.
to, and in that, you know, in that moment, that's when the transformation occurs, when you make that shift. Stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this opening occurs, which is a different type of clearing, you know. You've emptied all of the stuff, you know, then there's this space, you know, and inside of that space, there's an opportunity to see something else. But you have to stop doing what you're doing in order to see it.
That's right. You really do.
Yeah.
You really have to, and you have to listen to yourself. You know, and if you're complaining, you that's a clue. If you're complaining to yourself about yourself, that's a clue, a major clue, you know.
Yes, indeed. I'm not sure if Shakesha is on the line either. I would like for her to share about her show. We have a few minutes left. I'm not sure if she's there or not. Shakesha, if you're there.
Yes, Shakesha is here.
Well,
hello. Hello.
You're in California now, are you?
Yes. I am on the continent of North America, and I am in the state of California.
Awesome.
Yes.
And you could share about Let's Celebrate.
Okay. Well, it's just I actually got the email and and I know we always send out notices reminding people that the show will be on and this topic. And I tell you, when I saw the topic for this week that you were doing on Vision Works, I wanted to make sure I, you know, called in and was able to listen and you know, hear what other people would say, but I love this altering the media in yourself. So I definitely want to come back and answer that question. But first I want to share with our listening world out there that I'm Jakesha and I host our show called Let's Celebrate. And I'm always looking for a celebration. I say that we are a celebration. And so I'm just always looking to talk about what you're celebrating. And so that's what we do in the show. We talk about people and what a celebration they are. You know how you have people in your life, when you meet them or when you see them again, they always bring, it's almost like they bring their party with them. You're always happy, you're excited, you're interested. So, you know, that's what our show is about. We look at acknowledging people, acknowledging that celebration that they are. You know, like they say, give people their flowers while they're living. And that's part of what the show does in acknowledgement. And then we look at, you know, just what people are taking on in their life. We have a special part that I love to share, which is Tracacia the Griot, where I tell a story, and it's usually a summit story. So it's entertaining, it's interesting, and it's very true. So a lot of things happen on this show, so I'm looking forward to people calling in and sharing people who are celebrations in their lives.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And we have about 3 minutes, and I really want to hear your share about about altering the conversation in your media and what came up for you when you heard that topic.
Okay, well, two things. One, I just want to talk about how I got that I actually altered myself as a media. I didn't get that until the subject of your show. And then secondly, I like to take that point and actually handle an issue that I'm facing right now in my life. So first, let me share how I saw that I've altered the media of myself. And it's several years ago. In fact, my daughter's 30 years old, but I remember when she was applying for college. So she was filling out college applications. And when I would go in her bedroom, I would find those college applications that I had to spend $30 for on the floor. You know, because she was a teenager and she would drop them wherever they got dropped. And I was very upset with her. I mean, I was extremely upset. And what I got was that how I felt was that my daughter could not be wasting the opportunity of education. And I mean, like, that's true, but what I meant was I had this media or vision or image in my mind that as black people, you know, my daughter had to represent the race. And she had to be the best of the best. And, you know, she had to carry, like, the whole race on her back as she went through her 4 years of college, even before she got there. You know, I was like, you know, how dare you do this? You know, all the years, you know, generations of people who couldn't go to school. And that was my image. That was the media, you know, that I was running, that I was announcing. And I checked in with a friend because, like I said, I was very angry. And he said to me, why don't you come from that your daughter is entitled? That she's entitled to even flunk. She's entitled to waste college. You know, he kind of went from it really weird. He was like, you know, white people, other people from other generations, sometimes their kids flunk, and they're like, they don't make a big deal. And I got, my big deal was that, you know, we're black, and we have to struggle. And then in that moment, I got, I can alter this. My daughter's entitled. You know, my hope for her is that she'll do very well in college and da-da-da-da. But if she didn't, she's not having to represent the race. So I could, like, drop that and, like, create a new image and vision for her that, you know, you take on school, go to school for you. Do a good job, you know, for you. Not because you got to prove something. Because you're already excellent. You're already fantastic. You're already beautiful. And when I took that on, I could actually feel like a relief. And then it did, it was no longer like a problem when I talked to her about school.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and I got that I was like projecting that. I had like a screen that I was projecting this image, and it was a media of telling my daughter, look, we gotta prove stuff. We gotta be a certain way. And if you mess up, if you know.
Excuse me, you have one minute left.
Okay, so, you know, just to kind of wrap it up, I let that go. I let that image and that media, I made up a new press kit for her. and for myself, which is, you're excellent. You're entitled. You're just entitled because you are, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one way I altered it. And, you know, I have to call back in and work with vision and look at other things in my life, but just sharing that one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that share. That was really, really powerful. And this has been a really wonderful topic. You know, I said before, I had this totally different perspective on media, you know, in terms of not seeing myself as the media. And today we've had an opportunity to hear some wonderful shares about how people are shifting conversations for themselves inside of their personal media, and some ways of shifting in the external, you know, in the external media. And I think that's really, really powerful. I'm really happy. I want to thank Erica for the gift that she is in sharing herself with us this evening so fully, and also for the conversation that kind of shifted all of this for me and got me looking at it. I really had a breakthrough moment based on our original conversation in terms of altering my personal conversation and how I look at that line in the declaration. Now it has so much more meaning than it did at the beginning of the week for me. And if for those of you who are listening, if you've enjoyed the conversations today on VisionWorks, one of the many shows on the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, you may want to consider attending our annual event, which is happening in a couple of weeks in London, England. And Shakesha, you'll be leaving soon. For a wonderful
yeah.
Event. Yes. And
yeah.
Glenn wasn't able to be with us tonight, but he hosts a show called Man of the Month, which will be on next, the fourth Sunday. And he highlights the men in our world and what they're up to and what they're doing. He also has a show called Wealth, which is phenomenal. It's on the second and fourth Tuesdays. And it's really about financial empowerment and different ways that you can improve your financial intelligence about various aspects of financial prosperity. It's a really, really great show, very informative. And I want to take a minute to talk about the summit event. It's really a time when folks from around the world gather and share their lives. They tune up their listening to what life is giving and engage in the process of expressing or transforming who they are in the world. And I want you to consider this your personal invitation to attend. If you can't make it to London, England in 2 weeks, next year, you can put it on your calendar. We'll be in Baltimore, Maryland in 2010. That's August 5th through the 8th in 2010. We'll be back stateside. And if you'd like more information about any of the International Black Summit events, if you'd like to become a member of our community, or if you want to register for any of our regional activities, you can log on to our website, which is www.blacksummit.org. And please, please join us for our next show next Sunday. It's been a great, great opportunity. I just want to thank everyone, Erica, Denise, Henrietta, Shakesha, and everyone else who's listening live, who participated in the chat room. Just thank you so much. This network is really a wealth of information, and it's designed to further the conversation of the summit in areas of empowerment, of transformation, and fulfillment of each person's life purpose and commitment. Just thank you for everyone who joined. It's been a pleasure. It really has been a pleasure. If you are a past summit participant and you want to share how the summit has forwarded your living your vision, and or you're doing work in the community that you would like to share on VisionWorks, feel free to send us an email to talkshow@blacksummit.org to get on a future show. Also, you can listen to past shows that have been aired 24/7 online at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. And you can download these shows onto your computer, your iPod, your MP3 player, and you can listen to it later or share it with your family and your friends. My name is Clara Lyons Devon, and I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God gave only to you. We'll see you in London. God bless. Thank you, everybody.